Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church Podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our guest speaker.
I am really excited about collaborating with three other guys that are really great friends and have a passion for making disciples. And tonight, Craig Olive is going to share. Craig has been leading global... I was going to say global impact. That just kept coming to my mind. Global connections. By the way, he assigned me an international friend, and I had my first meeting with that international friend this week, and it was really a treat. It was really a blessing. A young man who's a computer science major, a master's student at the University of Florida, who is from India, and it's just a treasure to get to meet him, just sit down, talk a little bit, and we're going to get back together after some major tests are over for him, okay? But anyway, that was great. But Craig is going to come and share from your lesson guide. If you need a lesson guide, could you raise your hand? Oh, wow, we got a lot of folks that need a lesson guide tonight. So anyway, just keep your hand up, and Miss Karen and Miss Rita are going to make sure you get one of these lesson guides. And so can we welcome Craig as he comes now to lead us tonight?
So also, if you need a pen, maybe you could borrow a pen from somebody around you, because there's a lot of fill-in-the-blanks. Okay, I want to open this in prayer. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each person that is here. Thank you for the body of Christ, and thank you for our church here. Father, you say in your word that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, we beseech you in Jesus' name to raise us up to be workers in your harvest field. And Father, through us, raise up more workers, Father. That's my prayer tonight. I pray that you would just speak to me through your Holy Spirit, through your word, and just have your way, Father, in our lives. We commit this time into your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Pastor Calvin gave us a great intro into the topic of making disciples. And so Matthew 28, 18 through 20, I'm going to read. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So last week, We talked about this passage, and Pastor Calvin shared this with you, but I don't see if you remember. What is the main command in these verses? Make disciples. Make disciples is the main verb. It's not apparent in the English, but in the Greek in which this was written, the main verb is make disciples. So I've been assigned the task of defining what is a disciple. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. But before I get into that, I just want to kind of share my personal story and how this applies to my life and what it means to me as a new believer back in college. I came to Christ the summer after my freshman year. And for the first year, I really struggled. All I knew was I was supposed to go to church, and I heard, you know, I was supposed to read my Bible. I didn't really know much about the Bible. I didn't grow up in church, and so I didn't know much what to do. I wasn't really involved in a Sunday school class or anything like that. And I finally found a good church where I went to Auburn, and I found a great church there. And one of my first Sunday school teachers, his name was Dr. Ford. He was a professor at Auburn. And he just really loved God, and he took a personal interest in me. And he just shared with our class, if any of you guys are struggling or need some help in overcoming any sin struggles, and I was struggling with sin, you know, And he just invited us to come by his office. And his office was there on campus. And so I started going by Dr. Ford's office. And he started sharing his life with me and started sharing how he overcame sin and how he started pursuing God as a new believer and how he began to grow in Christ. And we began hanging out together and having meals together. And he just really began investing in my life. And I had several key men, probably three or four other men that did that while I was at Auburn. And that changed, my life changed tremendously. They taught me, you know, how to read the Bible, where to start. Don't start in Leviticus, but start in John, you know. I mean, I had no clue. And so I started reading my Bible. I started praying. And one guy, his name was Steve McAllister. We called him Big Mac. He taught me how to witness. And we would go and visit people who had visited the church. And I was scared to death to witness. I mean, I remember we were memorizing this gospel outline. And at first, we just watched. I watched Steve share the gospel with people. And then after a few weeks, he would say, okay, tonight I'm going to call on you to share part of the outline. And I knew he was going to call on me. And I was so nervous that night. My heart was pounding so much. We were sitting on this couch visiting this guy. And I was so nervous, the couch I was sitting on was shaking. And he actually called on me, not that house, but the next house, that same night. He called on me to share part of the gospel outline. And when he called on me, I forgot it. I totally forgot it and just like said something stupid. He asked me to explain grace. I said, it's kind of what you say before you eat, or I just forgot. And then the guy felt really bad for me. And we visited three houses. The next house we went to, he asked me to pray for this young couple. And I started to pray, and then I forgot their names. And at the middle of the prayer, what was your name? I was a mess. And so I decided to drop out of this course. You know, I'm like, so this dude, Steve, took me to the Chicken Finger place at Auburn. Guthrie's is a great chicken place. Anyway, he took me out to eat, and I told him, like, this is not for me. And anyway, he convinced me to keep coming. And so I reluctantly continued this evangelism training. And he goes, okay, this week you're going to share the whole gospel. I was like, so anyway, I showed up. They would always tell us, all God is looking for is a weak and available vessel. And I was weak and I was available, even though reluctant. And so I showed up. And what they did was they arranged the high school youth to pretend like they were lost. And we went to this guy's house, and he was a high schooler, and I didn't know him. And it was a perfect environment. Nobody was around, no TV on. And anyway, I was able to get through the gospel with this teenager who was already a believer. Maybe we should try that strategy, you know. Anyway, I was able to get through the whole gospel. And after that, something broke. Something happened. And God began to give me boldness. And I began to share the gospel. Now, if I wouldn't have showed up that night, if Steve would have not continually encouraged me when I was struggling and doubting and not wanting to obey God in this area, then I don't think I would be where I am today. So, you know, this has meant the world to me, people investing in my life and helping me as a new believer. And there's so many people like I was in the church today that we can invest in. So here on your little yellow sheet, Matthew 20, 18 through 20, the main command there, you can write in that blank there is make disciples. Make disciples. And so I think if we're going to make disciples, we should know what is a disciple, right? So, technically, the term in the first century, it meant a learner. You can write beside disciple there, learner or follower. Usually someone committed to a significant master. A learner or follower, usually someone committed to a significant master. And you can write this down. It's mentioned 230 times in the Gospels. It's mentioned 28 times in the book of Acts. And the modern-day example is what? Anybody have a clue? What is the modern-day example of this? The modern-day example is an apprentice. And you may have heard of an electrician apprentice or a plumbing apprentice. It's like on-the-job training of classroom material, on-the-job training. So basically, It really means a follower of Christ. There's no real distinction in the New Testament between a disciple and a follower of Christ. There's no biblical basis to say that someone arrives at a disciple after they've learned how to witness and memorize all these verses. But basically, a follower of Christ is a disciple. That's what a disciple is, a follower of Christ, who's committed himself to Jesus Christ. So tonight, how we're going to define a disciple is based on this very verse, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So first, it says here, Jesus says in verse 18, that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And we're going to think about the authority of Jesus Christ. So as believers, we are all committed to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives. Let's look at Luke chapter 14. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, starting in verse 25. Now, look at the context of this. Large crowds were going along with him. Large crowds were following Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." And then look at verse 33. "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions." Not a great way to win friends and influence people, huh? Turn to the crowds and say, you got to hate your father and mother, brothers and sisters. But what he's saying is that your love for me is to be so great that compared to your love for your mother and father, brothers and sisters, it's to look like hate that your love is so great. And that's the total commitment that God calls us to have toward him. It's like playing poker. You know, if any of you, I'm not going to ask for hands raised. But anyway, in poker, there comes a point where you have a good hand and you say, I'm all in. You push all your chips toward the middle and say, I'm all in. This is what Jesus is talking about here, to be all in for him. In Luke 9:23, you know, it talks about Jesus saying, you know, if anyone comes after me, that's not Luke 9:23. I forgot Luke 9:23. Luke 9:23, he says a very similar command. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. So the word after all authority is he must deny himself. So write that in the blank after all authority. He must deny himself. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And then 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, "He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." So we're called to live total obedience to Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to. Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." So we're called to submit to his lordship, be totally submitted to his authority in our life. Recently, I was at a prayer meeting on campus, and one of the campus ministers shared about how one of their girls is serving in Tajikistan, in a country in Central Asia. And there's a girl in Tajikistan who wants to get baptized. But the problem is that her dad's threatened to kick her out of the house, and her brother has threatened to kill her. And so many people around the world are having to count the cost, just like it says in Luke 14 that Jesus, you know, he says you're to count the cost if you really want to follow me. And so, I mean, should we here in America, even though we're not threatened, it's the same commitment that those in Tajikistan are making, that we're making here to be his disciple. It's total submission of our life. There's a story that I heard in the Muslim world, and I don't know if this is true or not, but anyway, I heard that these guys came in with masks on and machine gun, and they said, you know, you can deny Christ and leave here or be killed. And so some people, you know, left the church building, and they took off their mask, and they said, okay, let's have church. So it's total commitment of your life. That's the first thing, total submission to the authority of Christ to be his disciples. Okay, secondly, the second command here in Matthew 28 says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. therefore, go. Go is the next command. So in the blank besides go, you can write, going to the nations with the gospel. Going to the nations with the gospel. In Matthew chapter 4, 19 and 20, right under that, it says, come follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Now think about this verse. Jesus gives us a promise here. He's like, if you come and follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And I thought I could never be a fisher of men. I was scared to death. But Jesus, through the help of other brothers, helped me to be a fisher of men. And he wants to do the same for you. We're all called to be fishers of men. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. And out besides that, you can write ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God. So we're all, as disciples of Christ, we're all called to be his ambassadors, his representatives, to reconcile a lost world to God. That defines who we are as a disciple. You know, it also says all nations. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And a lot of times we just think of affecting the nations through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and that's great. We should give toward missions. But also another way we can be involved with this is praying. In our life group today, and even the college group, they also prayed for the same thing. We prayed for the Arabs of Omani, the country of Oman, there in the Middle East. And so we can actively pray for the unreached people groups of the world. We can also go on short-term trips. I know some of you plan on going to Cuba. Maybe God's calling you to go long-term somewhere. Also, we can welcome the nations. It's interesting. University of Florida has over 7,000 international students from over 130 different nations, many coming from unreached people groups. I've got guys from Iran in one English conversation group, from Saudi Arabia. And those are places that we can't go as Americans and share the gospel. But God has brought them here. And so it's an amazing opportunity that we have to welcome the nations and share and be a part of making disciples of all nations, not just those here. So that's God's passion. That's God's heart. And lastly, we can also be involved in mobilizing Americans to do this also, encouraging Americans to get an international friend. By the way, if you need an international friend, just see me afterwards. So, yeah, this past spring, we had a Bible study in our home, studying the book of John with international students. And every time we would do a lesson, we would encourage those present to share it with somebody the following week, even though they weren't Christians. So there's this girl from China named Chin Yi. And Chin Yi's husband was studying at the University of Minnesota. And so each week, Chin Yi would share what she was learning from John with her husband. But Chin Yi wasn't a believer yet. And so Chin Yi's husband, through Chin Yi, you know, turns to Christ. And Chin Yi also turned to Christ toward the end of the semester. And she was baptized here before she left, you know, in the summer. So that's just an example of an unbeliever, you know, sharing the gospel. If they can do it, you know, we can do it, you know. So, and you might be saying, you know, I'm not called to do this. You know, that's only the pastor's job or the preacher's or those in professional ministry. But we're all called to share the gospel. It's not just for some select few. We're all called to be a witness to all nations. One way we do it on campus is that we take students witnessing with us. And in doing that, like the guy took me, we model how to share the gospel with people. And there's a great promise that Jesus gives his people in Acts. It's the very last words Jesus said before he ascended to be with the Father forever, before he returns. Anyway, he says, all authority Wait, no, he didn't say that. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all Samaria, and even to the very ends of the earth. So Jesus gives us a promise that you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So that's part of our identity as a believer. So right there where it says who, now God has placed each of you in specific neighborhoods, specific jobs, and he has a plan to reach those around you. And I want you to think of three to five people and write their names there. And if you don't know right now, maybe some people will just come to your mind immediately. Maybe you're already praying for some people, but pray about three to five people and write their names down and write them somewhere, maybe in your journal or somewhere where you read the Bible, and begin praying for those unbelievers every day. And begin praying that God would help you to reach them. Now, it's not a mistake that you're living where you live. It's not a mistake that you're working where you work. You know, God has a purpose. It's not a mistake where you go to school. The people around you, God has placed you there for a purpose, to be his ambassador, to be his witness, and he wants to use you to reach them. Next, it says there in our passage, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So we're to go, that's what it means to be a believer, to submit to his authority, to go, to be a witness. And secondly, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And out beside baptizing, you can write, helping new believers join the body. Helping new believers join the body of Christ. So, of course, a disciple is one who has been baptized. And we see in the book of Acts, when people came to Christ, they were baptized and they began to be a part of the body of Christ. They begin to be a part of the church. Yeah, I had the privilege of baptizing a couple of my kids in Azerbaijan in the Caspian Sea. That was a memorable experience. And so, yeah, we're called to help people. We don't just want to win them to Christ and leave them, but we're called to help them to become part of us. And that's the first step, is helping them to become baptized. Okay, next it says, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching, verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So this is a huge one here, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then think about the life of Jesus. This is why Jesus did what he did. Mark 3:14, it says, and he appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. And then in verse 15 it says, and to cast out demons. So Jesus, not only did he call his 12 to him to teach them how to witness and all the ministry thing, but it says that he might be with them. And so it's enough to come to church and to life group and to gain knowledge about God, but there comes a time where we as believers need others just to be with us, just to do life with us, and to really pour into us and help us overcome sin. That's one thing we do with early believers, and that's what that God did with me, is help me overcome sin struggles, help people come up with a strategy, hold them accountable for problems that they might have. So under the blank there, you can write obedience. So what defines us as a disciple is obedience. And then in terms of investing in others, it calls for life investment. Right, life investment, time, agony, and then I put whatever it takes. Galatians 4:19, it says, my children with whom I am in agony until Christ is formed in you. My little children with whom I am in labor, in birth again until Christ is formed in you. And you mothers know what it means to be in birth. And that's what the Apostle Paul describes, helping the Galatians, you know, become conformed to the image of Christ. And of course, as helping people to obey Christ, our whole purpose is to help them become conformed to the image of Christ. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 and 8. That's so cool how you can get it up there so quick. 1 Thessalonians 2:7-8. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Thessalonian believers, "But we prove to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives because you had become dear to us," or very dear to us. And then verse 11, "Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging you and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that we would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." So Paul, you know, compares his investment into the Thessalonians as a mother, you know, caring for their children, or as a father. So it's total life investment into someone else. And it can be messy, you know. It can be hard. You know, people calling you in the middle of the night, say, "Oh, can you help me? I'm struggling. Can you pray for me?" It can be hard. It involves a lot of accountability, encouragement, strengthening, helping, whatever it takes. You know, we're to invest in people's lives and really pour into them as a friend, not just as a teacher, but as a friend. And what we're looking for when we seek to identify people like this is people that are FAT. And that's an acronym standing for faithful, available, and teachable. We're to look for those type people, because not everybody's available. Some people, but most people are available at 6 a.m., I've discovered, you know. If somebody says, "I just don't have time," I say, "What are you doing at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning?" So if they're really hungry, you know, they'll make time for you. And another good thing to think about in terms of finding disciples, the Apostle Paul in Acts 17:17, that's kind of an easy reference to remember. Paul says, this describes Paul's ministry. "So he was reasoning in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Gentiles, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be present." So the Apostle Paul, he was ministering, you know, and teaching in the religious place. And for us today, that's the church. That's a great place to find a potential disciple or to someone to help grow. I shouldn't say disciple. We're all disciples if you're a Christian. So anyway, so he was also, you know, in the religious place in the synagogue, but also he was in the marketplace, you know, in your school, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. So those two places. So those are places. And then lastly, Jesus says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And in that blank there, I want you to write, "Walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit." Walking and living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John 15:5, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." I mean, we are weak. I mean, we desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives, the person of the Holy Spirit to empower us and fill us and enable us to obey God and bless others and reach out to others. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." And that's not a suggestion, that's a command. So we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs 3:5-6, a lot of you know that one. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." So have you ever been in a conversation where you were not acknowledged? You know, often we live our lives and we're not acknowledging Christ in every situation. We're not acknowledging his presence in our life. And he wants to be acknowledged. He wants to empower us to live for him. And lastly, under Ephesians 5:18, I want you to write, "A disciple is one who makes disciples." A disciple is one who makes disciples. So that's how we're defining a disciple tonight. First, I'm just going to review all that I've said. One who submits to Christ's total authority as Lord in their life. One who goes to the nations and those around them with the gospel. One who helps those who come to Christ to be baptized, to join the church. Not only that, but they teach them to obey. Not just teach them, but teach them to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And lastly, one who walks in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus has more of a desire to do this than you do. And he longs to empower you and fill you and help you to be his witness, to help you to become a disciple maker, to help others, you know, grow and obey God's word. And so this idea of making disciples, it's not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. And that's what Jesus called each and every one of us to. And so I just want to ask you a question. Whose responsibility is it to go and make disciples? And before you answer out loud, you might be thinking it's our responsibility, but I want you to think of it in terms of it's my responsibility. I think each person needs to take a personal responsibility of the Great Commission. We don't want to have the bystander effect where we think, oh, yes, our Pastor Calvin will do the witnessing and I'll give money or whatever. But we want to realize that it's our personal responsibility to make disciples of all nations by going, by helping people be baptized, and by teaching them to obey all that he's commanded us. You know, when the doctor gives you a prescription medicine, you know, it says on there, take this 3 times a day with food or whatever. You don't need to call up the doctor and say, hey, when am I supposed to take this medicine? You know, it's already been written. And this command to make disciples of all nations has been written here. We're all called to this task. And may God give us the grace and power to fulfill this. I want to pray for us. Father, thank you for making it clear to us, even though it's hard and impossible without you. Lord, you have given us this command to make disciples of all nations by going, by helping people be baptized, by teaching them to obey all that you've commanded us. And also you've said that you'll be with us in this task to the very end of the age. And I thank you for that promise, Father. I pray that you'd fill my brothers and sisters with your Holy Spirit and empower us to make disciples of all nations. I pray this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.